Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we give thanks to you for bringing us to faith, for leading and guiding us in our spiritual growth. We pray that you bless this time together, that we continue that spiritual growth as you work powerfully in us as we meditate upon your word for today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today it's a little different. It is the first Sunday after Christmas, but it's also New Year's Eve. And I elected to preach on New Year's Eve. So my scripture is from Hebrews 13, 5 to 8. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. While it could happen every day, it often happens on one's birthday or possibly anniversary that we're kind of forced to think about the passage of time. I think we were bowling Friday night, and someone had a birthday, and I believe he was, what, 30, and so enough months that it came out to 50. But the 30 is what you heard in so many months. And so it is a time when we start to think about a passage of time. And I'm not proud to say, but I was totally shocked that 50 hit me very, very hard. I was stunned at how hard it hit me. But it happens, and it does force you to think about the passage of time and the end of our earthly life here. And, of course, then we also think about, isn't it great that we have forever with Christ, that that's not the end of our soul's life, our mind's life, and so on. But New Year's is the one time of the year when everybody thinks about the passage of time. After all, our year is going to change. Tomorrow it's going to be 2018. We can't stop it. We can't slow it down. We can't ignore it. There it is. I remember when I was 13, the first time I really started thinking about the passage of time. Out of nowhere, as I began to think about my future, I remember one thing. I thought, wow, the year 2000. That's so far away. I'll be 53 when that happens. You know, that's like 40 years from now. That's a long time. Yeah, what was that, 18 years ago tomorrow. So, you know, that's that's one of those things that happen. But also, I began to think about what to do with my life, because that was the first time I realized I wasn't going to live with my mom and dad all my life. It was a shock. I decided, I'm one of those guys, you know, like some people can't wait to graduate from high school. I kept saying, slow down. You're moving too fast, time. I don't want to graduate from high school, because I knew that would change everything. I had a great childhood. I didn't want it to end. I was afraid of the unknown, the future. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. Now, of course, some 57 years later, I can see most of the plan that God had for me in my life. I say most because I still have some life left, no matter how long that may be. At the time, my being a pastor never occurred to me. My wife, Joanne, was 6 years old. Not only that, I lived in Grants Pass. She lived in Wisconsin. So, of course, I had no way of knowing her. Now I can talk with confidence, looking back, that God was with me every step of the way. The sad thing is, I couldn't have that confidence in my life when I was young. One reason God gave us the Bible is so we can see how God has a plan always in place for every generation, for every nation, for every bit of time as we travel through it as a people and as individuals. He has a plan in place, a plan where He loves us, wants to work things out for good for us, according to His will. And at the same time, when we follow His will, then we find that we are content and we find life more enjoyable. God was with them in the good times and the rough times as well. Same with us individually. Sometimes we may wonder, but He's there with us. One story I read recently, a young boy was deaf in his right ear, lived up by Seattle. This was a number of years ago. He had a playmate that lived across an electrified field to keep the horses in. But they would carefully go under it and go across, back and forth across the field because it saved him a lot of distance walking around. And they were both fairly poor, but the other boy was really poor. And so this boy, the deaf boy, he decided he'd make a Christmas present for his friend. And so, but he didn't want his friend to know that he'd done it. So he decided what he'd do is he'd place the present on the porch, ring the doorbell, and run away. And so he did that, but he forgot about the electric fence. He ran right into it, and I don't know, apparently a very powerful electric fence because it knocked him down, left a mark on the right side of his face. It was very red. He went home. Mom said, "What happened to you?" And so the boy told him. But then, the mother was very upset. Here this young boy, out of love, was doing this thing for his friend, and then God let him get electrocuted. But when they went back to school after Christmas break, the school nurse called home and said, "What happened to your son over Christmas break?" And she says, "I don't know what you're talking about." She says, "He can hear out of his right ear now." And sure enough, he could. So, you know, there's God working through something where she doubted that God was working at all. He was working a miracle. And that's the way it is in our lives, because we can trust God in the good times and the rough times that He will work for good. I'll talk more about that later. The writer of Hebrews wants to make the point here, among several, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's look at yesterday. As we look at our history, we can see God's love for us. The question is, were we able to trust that love? For too many years, I had a fear of failure. I didn't want to leave home, as I mentioned. I didn't want to lose beloved relatives to death. I wanted everything to stay the same because I loved it so much. If there was something coming up that I dreaded, I couldn't enjoy myself for at least a week before that happened. I would just be knots inside. I wanted to say the Lord is my helper with confidence, but too many times I wasn't able to do that. Maybe you too have had times where a lack of faith in God's plans for you caused you to have worries in your life, to be afraid of the future. And then there's other things our scripture talks about. Like me, there were times in each of your lives where you were unrepentant for your sins, at least at first. Hopefully later on you did become repentant, as I did. But right after you committed your sins, there was a time maybe when you weren't repentant of those sins. It's like a lady in my fieldwork church. In Bible class, we were studying the Good Samaritan. And at the end, the Bible study leader summed it up by saying, this parable proves beyond a doubt that Jesus wants us to love our neighbor no matter who they are. The lady popped up and said, I can tell you this, Jesus never lived next door to my neighbor. All right, now I hope that in field work, you just work there like 1 year. It's like when you're in seminary and you start to get some practical experience in the field work church. 2 years, you work there 2 years, that's right. And so I don't know if she ever came to repent that. But I know I have trouble with my neighbor right now, and I know it is difficult to love some people because they make it, you know, they don't even try to be lovable. That's not the way they roll. So I understand. But I pray that she did reach that point where she could love him. Also, as far as having sins forgiven, another thing besides not asking for our sins to be forgiven is not believing our sins are forgiven. Because to us, this sin is so bad, it cannot be forgiven. A lady came to me one time and shared that before she became a Christian, she had an abortion. And she had asked God many, many times to forgive her, but now that she was pro-life, she felt that that was like an unforgivable sin. She came and confessed her sin to me, and I announced absolution for her. And for the first time, she realized that God forgives all sins. And we need to realize that. Please don't beat yourself up over sins that you have already asked for forgiveness for sincerely. Trust that God has indeed forgiven that sin as he promised he would. In the Bible, we have a history of God's complete forgiveness of Israel and some of its the people of God's leading citizens, so to speak, Adam and Eve. Terrible sin brought the whole world and the universe into sin, but God forgave them. Abraham had a lack of faith. He lied not once, but twice, claiming that Miriam was his sister, not his wife, because he was afraid that they would kill him so they could marry her. Twice. And he was forgiven. Moses, he didn't want to be the deliverer of Israel and ask that God send someone else. He was forgiven. He struck the rock with the rod, saying water came forth, but he didn't give glory to God. And he was forgiven. He couldn't enter the promised land. There were some consequences, just like with Adam and Eve. There were consequences. They couldn't be in the Garden of Eden anymore. And with Moses, he couldn't enter the Promised Land. But he certainly has eternal life, and as we know, he's one of those that appeared at the transfiguration of Jesus. David, what an awful thing he did. Arranged to have the husband of this woman he desired killed in battle. And in such a way, historians tell us that the city they were trying to take at that time was on a hillside, and apparently he was ordered to lead the charge up that hill, knowing there's no way he could have survived, and he did not, that charge. It's just an awful thing. And then think about the men killed with it. Oh, my gosh. But he was forgiven. Also remember the woman at the well, how she was forgiven and came to Christ. And then Jesus forgiving all those who crucified them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In fact, God had to send his only Son into the world because God knew that try as we might, we would always sin again as long as we had breath in our bodies. That's why Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection are so important to us, is so important to us. Jesus was born of a human mother so that he could live a perfect life in our place. He was born so that he could die for our sins in our place. He was born so that through his resurrection, we have been given eternal life right now, not when our earthly body dies. We have eternal life right now through Jesus Christ. Knowing this, I encourage you to go back through your lives and check if there's anyone you have not forgiven. If there is, please do so. I have done it. It's real spiritual journey to do that. And I've actually said, God, I don't want you to hold that sin against them. Please don't do that. Now, whether he does or not, that's up to his glory and power and all that. But I'm saying, as far as I'm concerned, I don't want that sin held against him. I encourage you to do that. Also, as I mentioned before, if there's any sin you have committed and you've asked God for forgiveness for, but don't feel forgiven, make sure you work at it until you don't feel guilty. And by the way, private confession is part of the Lutheran heritage. Isn't used as much as it is now. But your pastor would be happy to have you come in if you had any kind of sin like this you had trouble believing you're forgiven for, and help you with private confession and absolution. As I said, it really helped that lady who had had an abortion earlier in her life. Now remember that Jesus is the same today, not only yesterday, but today. Unfortunately, not all our sins in the past. Now, she'll never have another abortion, but other sins she'll commit, other sins that we do thoughtlessly or carelessly. And it seems like, at least to me, I keep coming up with new sins that surprise me, and maybe you do too. I kind of catch you unawares. The spiritual danger comes when we are unrepentant of those sins. We are not always as self-aware of our sins or our sinful nature as we should be. At times, we lose sight that God has promised, of the fact that God has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. We know that we don't trust this promise of God every time we are afraid. Have you ever thought of that? Being afraid is a sin because it signals a lack of trust in God. We know that today we are a child of God. We are Christ's brother. We are Christ's friend. We know that all of God's promises are for us today, not just for the ones in the Old Testament. We know that when we repent of sins, God both forgives and forgets them. Illustration I use for that, a little boy was horsing around in the house like he'd been told not to do, and he broke his mother's favorite lamp. Of course, his mother was upset. He apologized to his mother. And then that night, he asked God for forgiveness for breaking his mother's lamp. But he didn't feel forgiven. And so the next night, again, he asked God to forgive him for breaking his mother's lamp. And in this story, God spoke and said, "What lamp?" See, he had forgiven and forgotten. That's what he does. That's a promise from Scripture that is what he does. Today, then, we can know that God wants us to live in peace. He wants us to be content, to be courageous, to be confident, because that's the best way to live. And that's the way that bears witness to our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Inasmuch as we can live this way, we can live in joy. And living in joy is a powerful evangelism tool. A national known rabbi once wrote, "If my Christian friends lived in the joy they are supposed to, or if they showed the joy they are supposed to have in their heart, I would have become a Christian a long time ago." People are watching. We have this faith in Jesus Christ, and people are watching. Is that beneficial? Are they happier than me? Are they more joyful than me? Are they more at peace than me? People are watching. And if they see it and they have problems in their lives, they may well come to you and ask what the deal is. Then you have your opening. Jesus is the same now and yesterday, today, and forever. We know that no matter how hard we try, we will sin. As Paul wrote in Romans 7, 18 and 19, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." This is Paul saying, writing this. It's true. Sin's something we got to fight all of our lives. So there will be sin in our future. We will have more need of forgiveness. But the thing is, we can know that God's love will never waver, that his power will never cease, and his forgiveness is always there. We can be confident that our sins will be forgiven when we sincerely repent of them. We can be confident that we will not be forsaken. Confident that we will be loved by God no matter what happens. Even if for a moment we wonder, why did God allow that to happen? In time, you will know why God allowed it to happen. And we know that God, even when we self-inflict ourselves with problems because of our sin, we know that God will always answer our repentance with forgiveness. There's another verse I'll read here in a minute that applies to that. When I was young, I had a fear of the future. It actually debilitated me. I was afraid to do many things because I was afraid of failure. or maybe start going in the wrong direction and not leading, going away that was God wanted me to go. God continued to work in me, and two verses became very important to me, giving me a lot of courage and confidence, which I could not have been a pastor without, by the way. In Genesis 50, 28, Joseph says to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." And we can even see that in the crucifixion of Jesus, where the leaders wanted to harm Jesus, but God intended it for good, our salvation, forgiveness of sins. The other is Romans 8, 28. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." I finally realized, even if I went off in a wrong direction, or if I made a mistake, God could work it for good. He would work it for good. And that gave me tremendous confidence in my life. So, because of these two verses, I got the courage to leave a job I loved. I actually repaired photocopiers in Salem before I went to the seminary, and I loved that job. But I felt that God was calling me to be a pastor, and so I had the courage to make that step, quit the job, move to St. Louis to the seminary, to attend the seminary there. And I've never looked back. I knew that if God was calling me to be a pastor, he would give me the strength, courage, wisdom, whatever I needed to accomplish that. And I firmly believe that he did. Now, I encourage you to go forth into the new year with joy, in confidence of the Lord's, having confidence in the Lord's love and power. And may your faith be a good example to others. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.